Expo Bomb, and we're here to make you think about death and get sad and stuff.
I'm hearing voices, animal voices, the tremor of cold, the feminine of the sun, reaching my threshold, staring at the tree till I'm blind.
Dark, dreary, swing, mirrors, wind, things that go bookly book.
Tonight's episode is brought to you by the word, and I can't pronounce that word because that word is incomprehensible in this particular Euclidean mathematical and geometrical environment. We are taking over the world. Slowly but surely, little bit at a time, little bit at a time, little bit at a time. And as we use this TikTok mentality to get through to the day and the nights and all of the things that go around in the corners, we are going to... Oh, look, squirrel. Aha! That brings me back. Tonight's episode of After Rot, episode number 363, because, oh my God, I can't believe I'm actually at that number right now. It's incredible, man. It's like, what the heck? It's like, hey, why is that squirrel sitting on that shelf right there? Oh, no, that's a hedgehog. Okay, good. That's fine, too. I don't know. But it looks good on the levels on my side. I don't know. Should be okay. Meh. I can always talk louder. But tonight, actually, we are doing nothing different than normal. But, speaking of the squirrels again. No, I don't want to go closer to the mic. It's already very close. It's actually right beside my head. More squirrels. Because, you know, we can never get enough of squirrels. Because squirrels are awesome. Tonight's episode includes episode 10 of The Return of Mega Squirrel and Friends. So, in the beginning right now. Yeah, going on to the first trailer of a movie watched tonight, this week, because, you know, there's plenty of time now to watch movies and stuff because of everything going on in the world. There is actually time to enjoy these things. So we're going to start off with the first one.
There's this trick that we all do to get through our day.
Go, 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 go!
We take a box, and into that box, we place all the horrors of the world. And we close the box and pretend it doesn't exist. Only some of us, we've lost our ability to pretend.
We've been looking for a special operator like you for a while.
Who are you?
We do the dirty work others can't.
Here's the fun part.
Now on,
you're dead.
It's all erased.
No more criminal records. No more getting arrested just for being naked or just usual stuff, you know, being naked, getting drunk, casual stuff.
So we're all gonna die.
We blend in to disappear.
Watch me!
Is this gonna work?
I hope so.
This is mine.
Honestly, I didn't think we'd make it this far.
What's the status?
Hello.
This is so stressful.
Bonjour.
Hi. Hey.
Hi.
We're all gonna die. May as well do it while we're alive.
Watch me!
Sounds fun, right?
So that was a movie called Six Underground with, Ryan Reynolds in it. That was a pretty fun movie. I was actually surprised. I was really expecting a pretty movie that's derivative and didn't really have much to offer to it as far as new and interesting. It is pretty basic as an action movie because it just takes very basic, very simple, straightforward tropes and says, hey, let's throw this stuff in the movie and say, let's have a guy doing parkour. Let's have a guy being a hitman. Let's have Ryan Reynolds being the rich billionaire guy trying to solve the world's problem by taking out one bad guy at a time. It actually kind of worked. It was a very action-y movie, very fast-paced, had good shots, had very cool effects based on just physical effects. I mean, the one kid who's doing all the parkour stuff is like, that kid moved pretty awesome. He was jumping all over the place, jumping on the things, jumping on those things, jumping on those things over there. And I was like, I was surprised they didn't have accidents more in the movie. They probably did. But, you know, it's whatever it is, it's whatever it's going to be, right? It's not like, oh, crap, what the hell was his name? You know what sucks to getting old? Is you forget things. Things like names. I will remember his name 5 minutes later when I don't need to do it anymore. So, Danny, Donnie, no, neither of those. Jackie Chan. There we go. I remember before 5 minutes. Yay, me! And basically, yes, what Mark just said in the chat room, kind of like Batman without a costume. He did have some cool gadgets, though, so it kind of worked. So there was fun things in this movie. It has one of my newer favorite songs called Yeah, 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 Blah, 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 Blah. I busted my ass laughing when that song came on at one point randomly in the movie. It's like, what the fluff? It's like, I like that song. It's a really cool song. I really, really like that song. And then there's just boosh right there. So, really good series of action movies. They kind of have this weird alternate way. Well, it's not necessarily alternate. I mean, more and more movies and shows or whatever trying to do the same sort of thing. Where, oh, by the way, Mark, Jack says hi. He's not able to get into the chat room today. He's in another chat room, which is like right over there, which nobody else can be in because it's one of those private thingies over there. Okay, man, you just made me derail my thought. Whoosh. The difference in that it's trying to use these parallel timeline things where you start with a storyline going in with this particular angle, and then you go and flip into another sort of angle that says, hey, let's fill in the backstory. Why did this person show up all of a sudden? Oh, hey, here's their backstory. And the basic story, why it's called Six Underground, is because Ryan Reynolds' team has always got six people that fit six kinds of slots for development for how that team works together and moves forward for the objective that they're trying to do, which is basically get rid of bad guys that the governments and then the actual proper police people can't actually properly do. So he just says, you know what, sometimes we just got to do some dirty shit that nobody else will do. So that was basic plot of the movie. It worked. Oh, by the way, Jack, Mark says hi back. It worked. It was a fun movie. It was not expecting a lot of overall great plotting, had some good dialogue, some great scenes, but just a straightforward movie, and it kind of really flowed well. So I mostly recommend, but now we're getting to the cream of the crap, the day of the dutter, the stutter of the blutter, and
from the most exotic locations on Earth, Moonraker will transport you to another world.
Trifle overpowering your scent.
Holly was a warm girl with the right connections.
Could this possibly be the moment for us to pool our resources?
We would be better off working together.
More excitement, more thrills, more spills. And guess who's dropped in for a bite? Jaws is back. Thank you. From Earth to the most spectacular adventure in space, Moonraker. It's out of this world.
What exactly are you up to here, Drax? Moonraker 1, liftoff.
Moonraker 2, liftoff.
Moonraker 3, liftoff.
Moonraker 4, liftoff.
Entire city in space.
James Bond and the treacherous Dr. Goodhead. Despite your efforts, my finely wrought dream approaches its fulfillment.
Was the lovely movie Moonraker 6 ready to take off. Wait, hold on a second. I'm going to pull my pants down and moon the wall. See, I can do that now because the way that I've changed my office setup here to make it available so that I can be kind of multiple different environments to work with. Right now, I'm actually standing at my desk talking about this stuff because my microphone's really high up here, and it's like close, and I can control it, and it's cooler. The old way, I was actually crouched in a little room. It's like, it's my dungeon cave. But enough of that. Back to Moonraker. Moonraker was the most expensive up to that time. Actually, up until about 1997 was the most expensive Bond movie that they had ever done. There was a whole lot of money they spent in doing the sets and stuff and getting that movie off the ground and working. And what it was originally supposed to happen was, For Your Eyes Only was supposed to have been the next movie at that time, but instead they went and did Moonraker because the Star Wars franchise was just taking off. And they're just like, oh, look, science fiction-y shit. That's cool. Let's do some of that. And they did the Moonraker movie. Now, some of my favorite things about this movie is that the main song for the intro and the extra at the end of the movie was done by Shirley Bassey. Again, I think this is her second or third song she did in the Bond series. And, of course, we have Jaws back again. And the fun thing is that by the end of the movie, spoiler alert, and if you haven't seen the movie by now, tisk, 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 tisk. He becomes a good guy. And all for the love of his little girl, little friend, who is a young woman that went up to the Moonraker colony with him. And it's like, wait, they're not perfect people, but they're nice people. And it's a whole thing. You gotta watch the movie. Gotta watch the movie. It's actually a cool movie. I enjoyed it tremendously. And one of the things I'm noticing with most of the Bond movies is that even though a lot of the effects feel and look dated now, and you compare some of the technology and science stuff, and it's like, well, look, that is very unlikely to have occurred that way. However, back in 1979, when that movie was made, they still had the Concorde flying from continent to continent. They still had the Challenger shuttles or whatever going up and trying to float in space and do the stuff that they were doing. So that was all still new stuff, and they were playing with those things and saying, hey, this would be cool. What if the story went this way? So, Moonraker, fun movie. Other things to mention, Lois Chiles as Holly Goodhead was the main Bond girl in this movie. She was fun. She's nice. I like all of pretty much everyone that I've ever seen in a Bond movie usually has a good point to being in the movie and whatever they're doing. But it's still the same progression of it's Bond. James Bond. Okay, next movie. Ooh, let's go with the next one. Can you guess this? Well, the last one you should have been able to easily guess because they said Moonraker in the trailer like 30 different times. So let's try this one.
Thank you. for your eyes only. It's Roger Moore as Ian Fleming's James Bond 007.
Ago, our spy ship was sunk in the Ionian Sea. She was equipped with ATAC.
Have we begun a salvage operation?
We asked Sir Timothy Havelock to secretly locate the wreck. He and his wife were killed by Hector Gonzalez. Police were able to identify Gonzalez by Melina, Sir Havelock's daughter.
Explosive. Exclusive.
Well, I trust you, Helcar.
For your amazement, this bond is for you.
Oh, by the way, we haven't been properly introduced, Melina. My name is Bond. James Bond.
Mr. Bond, you have shot your last bolt.
We're not dead yet.
Good afternoon, Mr. Bond. You are now flying under remote control. Goodbye, Mr. Bond.
I'm the Countess Liesel von Schlaf.
Why not come in for a bite?
For your eyes only can see me through the night.
This bond is for your eyes only. No one comes close to 007. When 007 comes close to you,
was For Your Eyes Only, the trailer thereof, and well, let's see, what are the fun things I can say about that one? Oh, right, here's a fun thing. I don't know if you noticed, but as soon as he came up on screen, he's like, holy shit, I recognize that guy, and his name is Charles Dance, and he's in there for like a couple of minutes as one of the thuggy bad guys, chasing Bond in the Alps or the whatever it is, the snow areas. I don't remember what country they were in. They were in some country, like European country or whatever, where they've got like Alps and stuff, you know? It's like a lot of snow and mountains and stuff. And he's skiing away, Austria maybe, something like that. But he's also the guy that played the bad guy in The Golden Child, which is like, I know that face, I know that face, I know that face, I know that face. He's only in it for a couple of minutes. I love movies that do that, where it's like, oh shit, this was before the guy was actually famous and doing stuff. And then he did famous stuff, and it's like, ooh, cool. So, the opening song on that one was Sheena Easton, which threw me for a lot of loops until when they first came on. I was like, ah, crap, I know that voice. What the hell? I ragged my hair, and I was like, ah. And then I was like, oh yeah, Sheena Easton, right. I knew it was somebody like that. And somebody's asking a question in Canada. Yes, the skiing scenes was actually done in Canada, but they were supposed to be somewhere in the Alps or whatever, someplace fancy like that. It was fun. I enjoyed this movie. It's after they did Moonraker, they decided, well, we need to get back to basics and bring Bond back to the Bond world of just regular, hey, he's a super spy, does the super spy stuff, does a little dance sometimes, you know, around the corners. I don't think he does the dance around the corners, but you never know. So this one had Carol Bouquet as the Bond girl. She was stunningly attractive in this movie. One of these calm, cool, collected, just like priceless beauty type expressions and faces and stuff. And it's just, she was perfect in this movie. Is there, and I have that one shot, which is for the whole name of the movie, For Your Eyes Only, where it's like, you killed my parents, I will kill you all. She doesn't actually say that, but you can see it in her eyes. It's like, oh, she's going to kill them all. Kill them all. And the stupid parrot, man. This, well, it's the main plot point in the movie, but it's what it is, where it is, what it does, what it does. Fun movie. What are my other notes? Oh, yes. So, fun scene. They blew up the Lotus, the lovely car that he was driving in one of the earlier movies. I was like, ah! And there was a point in the special features talking about how everybody cheered in that movie when that came on, when it was on the theaters, because like there was a whole bunch of auto thefts going on at the time, and everybody wanted to have that feature as a thing in their cars. Like, yeah, man! Oh, if only our car would blow up too when somebody tried to steal it. Little did they know, it's illegal in most countries in the world. Oh, well. Interesting, fun movie. So after they blow up the Lotus, they actually grow in this little yellow stinky car and go all through the Greek background and whatever, going through the date trees and stuff. Fun, 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 fun. Next one is one of my favorite movies to say the name of, but we'll figure it out in a second when I hit that button and play that button, because that's...
Bond hits an all-time high. Roger Moore is Ian Fleming's James Bond 007 in Octopussy. More in his newest and most thrilling of the James Bond adventures, filling the screen with excitement. In the tradition of the great James Bond films, Octopussy has everything: elegant palaces and beautiful women.
Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
My name's Bond. I believe you have a reservation for me.
We've been expecting you, sir.
I'm Octopussy. And you are James Bond, 007, licensed to kill. Am I to be your target for tonight?
This is Bond at his best, hitting an all-time high in Octopussy.
Step on it!
The Bond that tops them all. Octopussy racing across the screen with thrills and excitement. Roger Moore in his newest James Bond adventure, hitting an all-time high in Octopussy.
Well, if you couldn't guess the name of the movie from that one with Octopussy being mentioned at least 15 times in that, then just that was the name of the movie. It was Octopussy. That was the 13th Bond movie. And I was thinking about it. It's like, hey, wouldn't it have been cool if it was like the 8th movie? Because, you know, Octo means 8. And no, that was like an opportunity that they completely missed there. Could have been an even good name for the 16th movie, which would have been maybe a couple more yet to go. But no, it was the 13th movie, and it was a yummy movie, and some of the coolest things about that particular movie for me was the, well, they had all the women, Maude Adams plays a Bond girl again for the second time in a Bond movie, and technically speaking, they say she's a third time in A View to a Kill, which is the next movie I'm going to talk about, but the island that she has, it's like sort of an Amazon island where it's just women. All women. All good-looking women who are very athletic and very capable and very able to do other things like, oh, I don't know, throw people over the sea. And the outfits that they have for her private army, the red outfits, is like very stunning outfits. Very beautiful, worked beautifully, just it fit so well. Enjoyed quite a bit the chase scene in India, because, you know, like every single Bond movie has to have both a chase scene, a vehicle pile-up, crash-up, dust-up type scene. And one of the funniest scenes was in the India streets, because, you know, in India they're always having all these people doing all these kinds of crazy things like, oh, I don't know, lying on a bed of nails. The old guy gets up and Bond throws the one guy down on the bed of nails and kills him. And the old guy says, hey, get off my bed. It was funny. It was very amusing. This is the thing. The Bond formula for even up until this far in is still very amusing, very actiony, very good pace. And the one thing I love to mention in the commercials and the trailers for all of these is, oh, it's the best Bond ever, every single time. They do that on every single one. Every single one. Oh, that's actually a good point. So Mark in the chat room just mentioned one of these days he wants me to do a Godzilla review. Little does he know that a little while ago I picked up the Blu-ray collection, the Criterion Blu-ray collection of the Godzilla Toho movies. So I have like the first 14 Godzilla movies. That's actually one of my to-be-done versions of what I'm doing right now with the Bond movies. Because who doesn't like a big giant lizard running around stomping on things? I like that. I'm sure everybody else does. So, Octopussy, the one thing I would keep remembering is, like, just saying that name is just so fun, so amusing, and sometimes gets a lovely reaction. So, yes, the crazy circus thing scenes they had in this movie were awesome. The acrobatics were cool. The idea was actually a really, I thought it was a well-done story plot. The Bond movies seem to have a lot of fascination with nuclear bombs. Well, come on, let's face it, who doesn't? And it's kind of an interesting thing that they keep using it as a part of the plot point. But I thought it was a really well-done movie. So, because I'm on a timeline, I'm going straight to the next one. Because, you know, that's me.
This man has a secret ambition.
I propose to end the domination of Silicon Valley. Project Main Strike.
A secret plan.
For which each of you will pay me $100 million.
And a secret weapon.
We're not sure about her. Name's Mayday.
Someone will take care of you.
Oh, you'll see to that personally, will you?
There's only one man who can stop them.
name is Bond.
James Bond.
And I'm Dick Tracy, and you're still under arrest.
In the world of high adventure, the highest number is still 007.
James Bond 007 with Tanya Roberts, Grace Jones,
wow,
and Christopher Walken as James Bond finally met his match. Find out this summer in A View to a Kill. Title song performed by Duran Duran.
And that was A View to a Kill, which turns out to be the last Bond movie for more, because the next one is somebody else. We'll talk about that next week, because that's what we do next week. But as the trailer said, the title song was performed by Duran Duran. And that one was another one that was a head scratcher for me, because it's been so long since I've heard the song and so long since I've seen the movie. It's like, oh, crap. I kept thinking it was somebody else. And it's like, oh, Snikes, it's Duran Duran. By the way, mention a point, Octopussy, the song, was done by Rita Coolidge, which was also another, hey, I remember that voice. I know that voice. This is the fun thing and cool thing and sad thing, because, you know, getting old means you watched all this stuff ages and ages and ages ago, and now I realize I don't remember half of the stuff that went in on these. But still, my favorite Bond movie is Live and Let Die. I remember that movie. That one was fun. So, fun things about A View to a Kill. And this one is pulled straight off the IMDb as an old thing, because this is amusing as shit to me. Opening credits disclaimer. Neither the name Zorin nor any other name or character in this film is meant to portray a real company or actual person. It's in the beginning of the Blu-ray and everything. It was added after the producers discovered that there was a real company named by a person, or sorry, real company run by a person named Zoran. Not to be confused with Don't Mess with the Zohan. That's a completely different set of walls. Yes. But dudes, it had Christopher Walken in it. That was awesome. I'm watching him doing his stuff there, and it's like, whoa, we need more cowbell. I kept expecting that to become a, as like other lines that he's doing, starts doing his dance to the song. And he's like, I can't believe, man, that was like 30 years ago he's in that movie in that. And yes, Jack, you're correct. I think Duran Duran was in Barbarella as well. But I cannot quote me on that because I don't have any of the information at my fingertips right now because I'm moving on to something else. So, Tanya Roberts, I saw that name again. It's like, oh, shnikes. She was from that a Beastmaster series as well. And I was like, oh, yeah, she was cute. And then Grace Jones, like, yeah, she's weird, but she's awesome in this movie. She's the perfect character for what they did as that foil for the whole bodyguard slash mistress slash whatever the hell you wanted to call that, the relationship that she was having with Christopher Walken's character in that movie. And then the coolest guest appearance person in the movie for me was actually Patrick McNee, which, funnily enough, in the Blu-ray series, he's narrating these special features, except for in this movie, which is then narrated by somebody else. Patrick McNee, man. He was the Avengers. It's just, I grew up watching the Avengers. I loved that show. It was so awesome. And I've loved Patrick McNee as a character in many, many different things, because he is the true height of British excellence in an actor. He's a very good actor. Very well seasoned. Very refined. Very, very urbane. Awesome guy. Awesome movie. Enjoyed this movie. I completely forgot the whole blowing up, trying to destroy Silicon Valley as the plot line. It's like, oh, I could see you doing that, but you'd need a lot more than that. Again, the science, wherever it comes from, it's like, you know, it was probably theoretically cool back then, but now kind of less so. So when they talk about the whole using salt water to push into the mines, I was thinking, oh, they're going to go into the fracking thing. And it's like, wait a sec, I don't think fracking was a thing back then. It's like, okay, whatever. So there was another thing about the snowboard, because there's a scene where he's being chased and he breaks off the front part of the skidoo, and he's then snowboarding down the thing. And I had to find out about this. So apparently the guy who's the stunt double doing that is actually the inventor of snowboarding from 1965. And that was like, that's just one of those cool fun fact things. So now that wraps up the Bond side of this tonight's experimental movie thing. And we're going into intermezzo time, because it's that time. We'll be right back. Was a wonderful little ditty, actually a combination of ditties, was Metallica doing a Ronnie James Dio medley of songs, including Kill the King, Stargazer, Tarot Woman, and a Light in... what the hell was it? A Light in the Black. Lovely song, good rendition. I've always been a Dio fan. Well, I've always been a Dio fan since I first heard them, so I'll go with that. I've been a Metallica fan for a long time as well, so I'll enjoy that too. They're both wonderful combinations. But now, the moment you have been waiting for. Oh, look, it's more Mega Squirrel time. Well then, there we go. We are off on our jaunty little expedition now that we are going this way with our friendly band of erstwhile and outstanding individuals. We've got Mega, Micro, Doc, Bubba, me, Danger Stranger Manger Man, Prickly Pear, and I think that's good with our whole roundup. We have got a lovely team of people coming together here. We are going to take over this quest and make it work, aren't we? Hey, he's talking to himself again. What the hell, man? I don't know, man. That guy's like off his rocker. Yeah, he's kind of like that. He kind of like will start talking. It's like pretending like there's somebody else listening. And then it's like, I don't know, man. He's crazy, man. You know, in Fairyland, we probably put him in Square again. What? Square, yes. Square, Fairy Square. Oh, Fairy Square? Wait, hold on a second. A Fairy Square? What the hell is a Fairy Square? It's like prison, but for like crazy people. And then we put them in there and we don't let them out, ever. We know, but everybody knows, a Fairy Square, it stays in there. It's like a saying we have, you know? Oh, that sounds awesome. Yeah, we should have done that with him back then. Yeah, what? Hey, I'm right here, you know. I can hear you. It's not very cool to talk about a person behind his back while he's talking about things in front of his back. That didn't make sense, did it? Nuh-uh. That didn't make no sense. Nothing. No. And we need to get going. Like, what are we doing? Is it getting dark now? Oh, good gracious, you are very quite on point with that. It is actually about to get dark within at least the next, I would say, probably 45 minutes.
Oi, nah, yet, no, not 45 minutes, 48 minutes. Be more precise next time.
Well, alrighty then, we shall continue. Actually, you know what, why don't we find a nice little place to camp, you know? We got some people here, they've been tired, they've been working, they've been walking. They are probably, no doubt, ready to lay down and rest. Well, yes, except for you, Bubba. You, Bubba, you don't need rest as far as we, the rest of the world knows, right? Well, Very good, then. This looks like a very lovely spot to lay our weary heads for a moment or two. Huh. Yeah, okay, I guess we could probably rest. You guys go and sit down and, like, find a nice little place. I'm just going to hunker down right here. Because, you know, this is a big solid place for my big-ass butt. And I'm just going to sit in my big-ass squirrel, mega-squirrel butt right here. And I don't care if anybody's sitting there right now, because they're going to get squished. Don't sit underneath him, because he'll squish you. Yeah, don't do that. I'm just going to sleep right here in his arm, because it's easier for me to just sit there than to, like, go anywhere else, because y'all is crazy weird, man. Weird, crazy.
Well, I don't need to sleep now, so I will stand guard with that thing over there with the, not quite living thing, you know? Yeah, okay, you do that. You guys, stay in the, open air and, like, keep watch and keep eye out for, like, things that, like, are creepier than us. Because we might be a little creepy, but I know there are creepy things in us. I smoked some bark. And I saw some shit, man. The world has got some weird shit in it. This world, more so than other worlds, because what the squirrels there keep saying about their world, I don't know, man. Some weird shit there, too, but it's like different weird shit. I think our weird shit is weirder.
Yeah, I'm quite inclined to agree with you that your weird shit is probably weirder. And I hope to God we don't get stuck in any of your weird shit. Oh, shit, we're stuck in some of your weird shit as it is, aren't we? We're on this little quest thing with you. I don't know, what's the watch say? Oh, the watch is still ticking. It says 146,000 now. I really don't understand how it keeps jumping around times and dates and things like that. What is it? Is it like a measure of space? Or is it a measure of particular elements of things that we need to combine together to make things happy? Because it's like it was one a few minutes ago, and now it's 146,038. Yeah, I don't get it. It goes up and down all the time.
Micro... I think best thing to do right now is to not worry about it, take a quick nap,
or a full-on sleep. I don't know, whatever the hell's going to work in this particular part of the quest.
I'm just rolling with it, man. I got nothing better I can do. I want some food. I want some nuts. I'm not seeing any nuts here and around here. And, boy, you want nuts?
Yeah. You got some nuts?
No. But I know that at Stoner Creek, there might be some nuts. There might.
Oh, really? That would be fantastic. I would really, really like that if that was the case, because I could really use some nuts. My big, you see this tub? This tub needs some lub, and that lub is called nuts.
Well, I don't know if the prickly pear there is quite correct in all quite there. He might be true that there might be some nuts there. I don't recall them.
You don't tell me when I don't know what I'm talking about. I know what I'm talking about. There are nuts there. I know this because some of the gang put them there.
What? Why would they do that? That sounds outlandishly random.
It's very, man. We do that. That's what we do. We put things in random places just to mess with you people.
Oh, that is actually quite true. You are... I'm not going to dissuade nor discuss that any further because I believe you are correct. I am going to take a nap. Thanks. Have a bun.
Wow, that's weird that he can just, like, turn off like that.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I think he's making that shit up right now that he's sleeping.
I'm actually sleeping. Thank you very much. Okay, now I think he's just messing with us. And he's just trying to pretend to be sleeping. Oh, well, he could probably be sleeping right away. But I'm going to have to... I'm not really going to worry about it. Because, like, what the hell is he going to do to me? And Micro, you're way the hell up here, so he can't even see you, right?
That's right. Nobody knows where I am until I speak.
I'm just quiet now.
Exactly. See? That's how that works. You are correct. But don't worry. You guys are safe here. I let you out of my fairy square circle.
I don't know why it keeps going square. It's like that.
Oh, yeah. That one. That was that one. Yeah. That one was a trap. I'm so happy you fell in it because I am having fun now. I am enjoying new experiences with new peoples and things and stuff. And, like, this is extremely exciting. The fairy bear, scare bear,
prickly pear is having an adventure. This is good. I am good. I am happy in this.
Wow, man, you seem to be very happy about this shit.
Yes, I am very happy with this shit. I don't really think it is shit, but it is like something different. I don't have nothing better to do right now. What am I going to do? Babysit the great dragon?
What? You know the great dragon?
Yes, of course I know. We're good Turk speaking terms. He hasn't been around for a couple of days, but I was expecting him to drop in soon, but he didn't.
Oh, well, okay. That's good to know. I suspect that we will probably want to, leave that one in the top deck as we consider our regular plans as we move forward.
Yeah, that sounds like a really good idea. Let's take a nap. 1, 2, 3, take a nap.
Yeah, you know I'm not just going to fade out, right? I gotta smoke some bark here before I fall asleep.
It's like, oh yeah, that's right. Can I have a nibble?
Sure, man. Here's, take up a piece. There you go, right there, yeah.
That is actually supremely satisfying for at least a couple of minutes. Ah, I can actually now not think about nuts for a few minutes, and
yeah, great idea. Let's go for a sleeping time now. Oh, yeah. Okay, good, yeah. Well, this is interesting. There, this dead thing. Okay, not quite living, not quite dead thing. I know you mean well. I hope you know I mean well. I am not like the humans and the other things. They're like, what, they, you know, they go and say these things and it's mean and hurtful. I am not like that. No. It's all good. I am not the one that's going to do that. But we should keep an eye out because there are things in this forest. You know, I know there are things in this forest. We need to be careful with them. Yes, yes, very careful with those things.
Time passes as it goes through vampire asses. I, myself, have all the other, and the very ports they blow, all the quarters that they know. It's the shipman's card. I'll drain him dry as hay. Sleep shall neither night nor day hang upon his penthouse lid. He shall live a man forbid. Weary 7 nights, 9 times 9, shall he dwindle, peak and pine. Though his bark cannot be lost, yet it shall be tempest-tossed. Look what I have found.
Oh, what's going on there, Bubba? What did you hear? What?
You heard... What? No, you couldn't possibly have heard that. That's not true. They're not here yet. What the hell did he think he's heard there, Danger Stranger, Manger, Man, Mouse? Keep that going, whatever.
Yeah, I was having a nice nap with a dream about Cheryl Ladd.
Who the hell is Cheryl Ladd? I don't know, but she sounds hot.
No, say it's not true there, Bubba.
Oh my gosh, gentlemen, Bubba says he heard a frog. Uh-oh.
What the hell? Frogs, they're not that big, right?
It's not a matter of size, you know? It's a matter of projection.
I'm not getting that. What do you mean by projection?
I mean projection.
Still not getting it. Saying it again don't make it any easier to understand what the fluff you're saying.
I think it's saying something about projection.
Exactly. It's projection. It's got nothing to do about depth or girth or energy. It's got to do with projection.
Far hung out there two flames. We could espy. Then at such distance scarce our eyesight made. It clearly out another gave reply. And to the sea of knowledge turned, I said, what meaneth this? And what reply would yield that other light and other who have it displayed? Thou shouldst upon the impure watery field, he said, Already what approaches know, but then the fen fog holds it shall concealed. Never was arrow yet from sharp-drawn bow. Urged through upon the air a swifter flight than what I saw a tiny vessel show across the water, shooting into sight. A single pilot served it for a crew, who shouted, "Art thou come, thou guilty sprite?"
Oh, that is very lovely. I have to salute that. That is very good. I enjoyed that. Yeah, good.
What the hell?
Yeah, what the hell? Actually, what the hell, Hal? Is that hell? That sounds like hell.
Oh, yeah, that was probably hell. I think that was the Inferno. Oh, goodness. The Inferno? That means we found... That's right.
You have indeed found us, good thespian vampire frogs. What do we owe this pleasure to? How can we make it up to you for enjoining us with these lovely words of things?
Outstanding, I say. That was lovely. I would appreciate an encore.
Much I marveled this ungainly fowl to hear discourse so plainly, though its answer little meaning, little relevancy bore, for we cannot help agreeing that no living human being ever yet was blessed with seeing bird above his chamber door, bird or beast upon the sculptured bust above his chamber door, with such a name as Nevermore.
Oh, my goodness, yes, that was at least three thespians in the crowd with us tonight, ladies and gentlemen.
Actually, I'll just stick with gentlemen, because that's all we are is gentlemen here. There are no ladies here.
What? What? Ribbit.
Yes, see? Three thespian vampire frogs in the crowd joining us today with their words of sparkly wisdom handed down upon the ages to sit and fill on all those outstanding pages. I'm at a complete loss here. It's like, what? These thespian vampire frogs speak, they recite words from other things and stuff?
Yeah, I don't get it. What the heck? This is like, it doesn't make any sense. This is a really weird world you guys have here. So I want to leave. I want to go home. I want the watch. Oh, why now it says 4? Why does... This is a weird watch, man. When I get back home, I'm going to have some guys look at it. Well, maybe not. Have anybody look at it. Maybe I'm just going to throw it away because this is like really weird, too much trouble for my efforts. And I don't get it. What the heck, man?
Oh, very good, thespian frogs. You really portray depth and projection and elements of worthwhileness in those words that you had speaking. I am very impressed. I'm touched in my heart space. My heart space deep inside my little chest here, where I, even though I am the fairy bear, scare bear, prickly pear, don't you dare, I am touched by your words.
Ribbit. Ribbit. Ribbit.
See, I know you appreciate these things that we say. It is called feedback / an appreciation for the arts, because without the arts, what would we be? We would be uncouth, uncommon, uncluttered. Well, we would probably still be cluttered, because apparently art doesn't necessarily get rid of clutter. But it would be a very poorly dark world in which there would be nothing of worth or value in concepts and contextualizations that mean and matter for anything that really truly has purpose.
Wow there, Prickly Bear. I am actually quite impressed with your usage of language there. That was outstanding. You have really hit the nail on the head there. These thespian vampire frogs must be the cream of the crop. I don't know which ones they are, but they sound awesomely fantastic. They have very good projection. They've got a whole understanding of the words that they are reciting. They really do get it, and I am very, very impressed. Danger Stranger Manger Man Mouse here, saying nothing but positive things about your recitation.
Ribbit. Ribbit. Ribbit.
Yes, exactly. Baba, tell them, like, you think the same.
Yeah, man. That's like groovy shit there, boys and girls. Outstanding stuff. I know it has come from the heart, what you all have done. And it's like, I can but just gather my sense of doom and awe and just sort of gaze off into the, hey, look, dawn's coming. The sun is rising. Should we be on our way? Yes. Yes, Doc, you are correct. We should be on our way now after this fine performance of thespian vampire frogs that they have so graciously bestowed upon us, so lovingly catered and created into such a sparkling space of ribbit, ribbit, ribbit. I'm sure I don't understand what you mean by that, good thespian vampire frog.
Ribbit.
Oh, what would you like from us?
Ribbit, 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 ribbit.
Hmm. Now y'all know that we don't understand what the hell y'all are talking about, right?
Yeah, we don't speak all these other languages that y'all seem to be speaking there. It's like it's kind of strange for us to know. What do they want? Like, what do they want from us?
They want payment. Oh. Yes, I think we can accommodate that particular element of request. It seems that the thespian vampire frogs would like a small token of appreciation more than just the words, because apparently our gestures of enthusiasm and ebullience in appreciating their lovely performance does not put food on their plate, and they would appreciate it tremendously if we could part with something to make their lives a better place to be. Sort of like as in payment for services rendered.
Yeah, hey, I got some bark here. Will that work for me? Ribbit.
Apparently it will, Doc. That's lovely. I don't know what I can... Oh, how about this lovely little dagger?
Ribbit, good. Ribbit, ribbit.
See? Oh, that's... tremendous. I'm so happy. And the rest of the fellows here, what would you like to portray, particularly give up to enjoy the payment of this fine performance? That's a lovely gesture, Boaba.
Oh, ribbit.
And they approve of that. Very good. I have no problem with this. I have little fairy powder here. Would you like that? Was that good?
Ribbit.
Very well. Here you go. That is good. I am so happy.
I don't have nothing. I could give you some squirrel hair. Tink.
Ribbit. 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 Ribbit.
I don't know. Much like Micro here, I don't really have much of anything else to offer. You guys say you're vampires, right?
Ribbit.
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 Would a couple of drops of blood work?
Ribbit.
All right, here we go. Clink. Blip. 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 There you go. 3 drops of blood for 3 vampire frogs.
All right.
3 thespian vampire frogs. I hope that was working. What?
Yes!
That's lovely! Are we good there, Mr. Vampire Frogs?
Ribbit! Ribbit! Ribbit!
Alrighty then. I guess we should be on our merry way now that we have had plenty of rest and a lovely performance, and we are bound to keep going to Stoner's Creek.
Excellent! Let's go!
And that is the end of the show, right there, don't you know? Because that's how we play in this particular kind of way. And I think all of my ducks are in a row and the chickens are flown the coop. Boop, boop, bitty boop. So, Come back again every Wednesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, because that's when we play this game. This game called After Rot, the radio show that I do weird things, plus I do normal things. Sort of a mix of both, you know, it's kind of random catch-catch-go. Every Wednesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on tmvradio.com. Come back. Listen to me talk again, because I like to talk weird and I like to interact with people. And I really would like people to come into the chat room, because then I can talk with you as well in the chat room. And then it's like on the radio and it's like live, you know, cool stuff. So follow us on the Twitters, follow us on the Facebook, follow us on the Instagrams, all the other stuff. Stay safe, stay clean, stay healthy, stay in whatever that works for you. Have fun and have yourself an after rotten good time. Just end that show with a sneeze and a gesundheit.